It's Jeremy White and Joe DiBiase.
You've gone to the movie theater to get takeout? This is another thing that people
Hold on.
People do this.
What?
Well,
yes.
Why? Because of the butter?
Because it's movie theater popcorn.
But you could get movie theater popcorn in the grocery store.
No, that's grocery store popcorn.
Popcorn is not different enough that it's worth going in and getting movie theater
it
popcorn.
It certainly is. You're not living until you're going into the movie theater, getting popcorn, and going home. Why do you think they sell it before you have to go into the theater? Why do they sell it where the general public can just walk in and buy treats? Why is it there
That's a coincidence. And they didn't put that out there.
Is that true? If that's a coincidence, where do I buy food at a Sabres game? After the ticketed portion. Where do I buy food at the airport? After the ticketed portion.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Every time we play that, I think it's the strongest argument I've ever made about anything, and I could take it to the Supreme Court. They sell it before you show your ticket. Case closed.
Yep.
Judges rule 9-0. Correct.
I've still not done it. You know, I believe you now.
You got an opportunity. Well, we're going to go into the Hard Knocks premiere. There's a Hard Knocks premiere coming up in a week or so.
Yeah.
We're going to go to that. You can get movie theater popcorn there.
Yeah.
But if you didn't want to, you could, of course, just, take it home.
Mm-hmm.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. We are live at St. John Fisher again. Another edition of Buffalo Bills training camp. Practice today following a fully padded practice yesterday. Our visitors today, we'll talk with Bobby Babich, Bills' second-year defensive coordinator. He joins us coming up at 9:15 this morning. And Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast, he's in town. He'll join us at 8:30. Sal Capaccio at 7:30. That's the slate for today. And you can pop in anytime along the way as well, whether you're joining us on the YouTube chat or you're joining us on the phone lines at 803-0550. Happy to have you along, because yesterday a fully padded practice, and it's been hot. Man, it has been hot. It continues to be hot.
Steamy right now?
Steamy.
Steamy, sticky, humid.
The humidity in Buffalo.
All the above. Is this worse than ever this summer?
It's pretty sticky.
Or does it just feel like it's worse than ever because we're here living in the moment of it?
I think you got to go with feel like, just because we even use the term real feel.
Yeah.
But yeah. In Buffalo today at 4 a.m., the humidity was 92%.
Woo!
Yeah. you like that morning, yes, fresh morning. No. No, it was wet, thick, soupy, 4 a.m.
Yep.
So there you go.
If we could do away with one thing weather-wise in this area, do you think people would choose humidity or, snowstorms?
Ooh, I mean, snowstorms feels like the answer. Feels like a pretty easy answer.
Still get rid of snowstorms?
Snow is fun, but snowstorms, they shut down roads and create problems.
It's a couple times a year, though.
Yeah, it's not.
Versus humidity, it's just, doesn't ruin, but it makes your summer a lot less enjoyable.
It's tough.
When it's 100% humidity.
Yeah, it can be tough.
Yep.
So good morning. Here we are at Fisher again. We'll see if the Bills bring in the story of yesterday, to a point, is it not endless receiver tryouts? But it's
a little bit.
It is different this year because, listening yesterday to Shope and the Bulldog talk about it with Sal, Justin Ross, Deion Kane, Willie Snead.
Willie Snead.
Yeah.
Who knew he was still playing football?
Hey, Willie, nice to meet you. Good luck out there. I really got deep into my bench three years ago and rostered you in a fantasy football league. The difference
3 years ago is 5 years
might
ago.
Be five.
So 5 years ago, he's in Baltimore. He catches 33 passes. In the last 5 years in the National Football League, he has caught a total of 7 passes.
Okay.
7 passes in 5 years has been his career. I mean, he's still hanging around. Like, credit to him for trying still, I guess, but older, 32 years old at this point. It's not like Ross is at least, what's Ross? Young developmental guy that
you
wouldn't call him developmental. He's just younger, unproven. You haven't seen him get reps out there on the field ever. So maybe you could think something. This guy's end of his career, Willie Snead.
Yeah. Snead is
New Orleans, people would remember.
The difference is, Ross is most recently with the Chiefs. The difference is that if you go back 1 year, and this is a case to be made about how the Bills have taken last year's team and, yes, upgraded their receiving core with a couple of small signings. Well, medium-sized signings, I should say. Like, Palmer's not small. Moore is kind of small in terms of how much they've committed. Palmer, they commit a lot. Last year this time, was it this year or 2 years ago where, hey, Andy Isabella, maybe he'll make the team.
Yeah.
And
I got into that. I liked
right,
him.
Like
I liked
Claypool, MVS, it was
KJ Hamler's KJ on that Hamler. List and he's still here, but
he is still here. The difference is now, you know, you see four receivers sign, you're like, all right, well, none of these guys are actually in the mix. It's probably because of the number of injuries they have, and they have to practice. They have to go out there, and they don't want to put Keon Coleman out there for every snap of a practice, and same with Shakir. So, you know, you get a bunch of depth receivers that have come in, and the top five spots, I think the top five spots are I would imagine they're on lockdown. I could be wrong about that. Any name pops up, you know, it's not the same. Last year, it was any name popping up, and yes, let's pursue that. Let's look even 2 years ago, like the final season where it's Diggs and Davis, and Davis is not going to resign. It's Hardy and Sherfield, and if a name popped up, we'd talk about it.
Yep.
And now that does not seem to be something we would do because you've kind of got a group that is, I think, pretty set.
Because who would be the guy that would miss? Wouldn't it have to be more?
It would have to be just more, unless it's Samuel because he can't stay healthy.
But even then, like, what is the maneuver? What is the mechanism in which they are moving on from Samuel? You could you would want to trade him if you were going to move on because you clear $7 million in cap space by doing that. But is somebody calling them right now about him? He's injured again.
Yeah, that's the tough part.
Like, I don't know who's – and then if you – there's no point in cutting him. You save $400,000. I'd rather have him on the team at that point.
Yeah, the only
– give me three games out of him this year. I'd rather have him than $400,000.
The only avenue to making that move is somebody below him on the depth chart, whether that's Shavers or Hamler or is so impressive that you treat it like you treated defensive ends a couple of years ago where you traded Charles Johnson for a seventh or whatever. Is that who that was? Who am I thinking of?
Bam Johnson.
Bam
Johnson.
Isn't that the same guy?
Maybe. I don't remember what his first name was.
I don't either. But they traded a guy to the Panthers because they have actually too many at the position. So that's the only way.
It was Daryl
Johnson. Okay.
Yeah.
What did I say? Charles.
Charles.
Yeah, Daryl Johnson. Daryl Bam Johnson.
Yep.
Not Charles Johnson, who's a former, I don't know, there's probably a bunch of Charles Johnsons.
There's probably a lot of Charles Johnsons, I would imagine.
Anyway, that's the only way you ultimately, he's a mixed martial artist, one of the Charles Johnsons is.
Okay.
I'm sure there's more. There's a baseball player named Charles Johnson.
No football players?
Probably.
The best Charles Johnson? Go ahead.
That's your only avenue, is trading Samuel because somebody below him on the depth chart went, you know,
nuclear in the preseason and looked really good in training camp. But who's that guy?
Nobody.
I mean, they picked a seventh-round guy, you know.
And he's hurt.
But he's hurt, right? Caden Prather.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, in the couple of days before he got hurt, I'm out there. I didn't notice him much. Sal hasn't brought him up whenever we've talked to him. So maybe he's done what they've been looking for, but I just haven't noticed it. It could be. I guess Shavers could be the guy again, but he's hurt too.
Yeah.
Right? Like, those would be the first two names I would mention. Prather, just because they drafted him. And Shavers, because I've been thinking about him being Coleman's backup. Like, big body, guy that could play the X, do the dirty work. But he could do that from the practice squad if he ever had to come in and play. So I haven't really thought about him making the team in that way. Guess he could be wrong, but this is his third training camp with the Bills, right? Shavers? Like, how different are you expecting – how much better would you be expecting him to look that would be good enough to get Curtis Samuel cut from the roster with a dead cap hit that he has? Like, I just
– yeah.
I don't know who the player is on the roster that would make any sense for.
No, the only – I guess the only surprise at camp, and maybe this shouldn't be a surprise, it's something we can ask Sal about. It's something we can ask Joe Marino about at 8:30. I talked to Joe Marino about this yesterday, and he kind of laid out that, you know, the veteran versus the young guy, Trey White and Max Hairston. Hairston has popped, has flashed, but as of right now, I think Joe would say he thinks that Trey White's going to be day one starter.
Yep.
Which, knowing the system, knowing what to do out there, you know, he looks sharp. I've not heard anybody say it looks like Trey's lost a step. It can be tough. It's camp. You kind of have to always do this. Whoever looks good is looking good at the expense of a Bills player, or vice versa. Whoever looks bad is looking bad at the expense of a Bill. It's the Bills versus the Bills. So I mean, we're, what, 4 or 5 practices in, and Christian Benford has locked everyone up. Everybody's locked up as a bill. Yeah. What am I supposed to do with that, right? I know Benford is good, though, so the chances are he's really good. If Jamarcus Ingram locked up every one of their wide receivers, Ingram's having a great camp, or nobody can get open. So you kind of got to balance it as best you can. But with that said, Trey White looks the part out there, and I haven't heard anybody say otherwise. It looks like he is healthy, and I wonder about the arc of Trey White, Joe. Like, when he got hurt the first time, it took him a long time to come back, and he detailed, like, the mental battles he went through.
Yep.
Then he got hurt a second time. I wonder if he thought he was done, and now he's back here kind of renewed and just, oh, yeah, this is where it all started, and let's see if I can keep this thing going. And if he feels great, he might just be able to kind of play like a guy that has been hurt but doesn't feel like he's been hurt. I mean, maybe it's not in his head.
Good enough that he could hold off Hairston for what, though? Like, the whole year?
Depends how good he is. I mean, if he's good as good.
That would feel weird. I mean, I'm not saying that would be a bad result.
I mean, did Hamlin not hold off Bishop for most of the year? I know Bishop was hurt and started behind.
He
started behind, but he held him off.
But really, the other part of that was Bishop got chances to come in and play, right? Like, Hamlin doesn't get hurt, right? Rapp does, right? At some point during the year. Is it Hamlin and it's Bishop that start against Houston? Mm-hmm. And then maybe Bishop plays in the AFC Championship game.
He did,
right?
Yeah.
But before that, I mean, Bishop gets opportunities to play, and what happens? Nico Collins over the top. Long touchdown.
Yep.
Hamlin maybe held him off, but Bishop also would have had his shot, and it didn't come through. I would hope that Hairston, if he were to get his shot because of an injury, it would just be – I mean, he's a first-round pick. I know it's a round higher than Bishop for this, that he would just go in and he wouldn't come back out if either one of the guys got hurt. And listen, that probably is not that bad a bet. I hope that doesn't happen, but Christian Benford has had injury problems, right? Concussion in the Baltimore game that he clears just in time to go against Kansas City.
And gets knocked out again.
And then he's knocked out in the first drive of the game, and he's had concussions before that. And he's had other injuries before that. Tre'Davious White, we know about his injury history with the Achilles and the ACL, so I wonder how temporary, you know, it would be anyways. Tre'Davious White, with his play, could earn the right to play the entire season, and you'd still see Hairston at some point because you got two guys ahead of him that both have had – they've been unable to stay healthy for the most part. So, Hairston, I mean, has he looked bad, though? White's looked the part. Tre'Davious White looks like he knows the system. Sal mentioned yesterday, we heard with Chopin Bulldog, there's a play where Hairston overruns Keon Coleman at the goal line. But otherwise, I haven't really been hearing these reviews of Hairston like, oh, he looks lost out there.
No, not at all. And he's got the athleticism and the speed to kind of
– make up for it.
Yeah, make up for some mistakes like that whenever they're out there. Whatever, it's been an interesting camp so far in terms of who looks good, who's popped. Yesterday, the first day in full pads, that's where everybody tells you we're back to real football. Our conversation with Joe Brady about it is like, oh, yeah, real football time. And, you know, it's funny – I guess I kind of knew this, but it was a reminder yesterday. You know, you think full pads go on, it's going to get more physical, that the defense is who's going to be like, oh, finally, I can hit these guys instead of just pretending. But especially, it's a testament to the way the Bills offense plays. That's the side of the ball, eager to hit. Finally, I can actually hit a guy. I can actually, you know, I've got a defensive end coming around. Finally, I can get into him a little bit more. And it's not just a speed game, it's a power game. And, you know, let's be real, this Bills offense is a power offense. That's what they've built with their offensive line. And you had a lot of offensive linemen kind of excited for that. You know, whether it's whoever told us yesterday, like TJ Sanders, Deion Walker, like, hey, first day in full pads, they find out how physical this offensive line is because they haven't had a chance to see that yet. So that's one thing that changed yesterday. They run the ball a lot yesterday as well. Joe Brady told us that. It was going to be a lot of power, a lot of physicality. And we're also at a point in training camp where the head coach, Sean McDermott, is addressing how he wants them to play nasty, physical football, of course, with respect for their teammates. So the tone of yesterday was about bringing physicality, which it sounds like it's another year of what this offense is going to aim to do. I mean, they're built that way. That's what Keon Coleman's out there doing, right?
Yeah.
Physical style and I almost want to say bully ball on offense. Like Rex wanted to build a bully,
yeah.
And that never happened. And I think that Joe Brady and Brandon Bean and Sean McVay, I think they've built a bully.
Really, do they not get that reputation around the league only because of who their running back is?
Yes, that's probably right.
Everything else, they play with six offensive linemen more than anybody in the league, right? They just drafted this, you know, menacing, best blocking tight end in the draft in Jackson Hawes. They have very physical linemen. You could find clips of Deion Dawkins like pancaking defensive linemen and then belly flopping on top of them. Like Spencer Brown is like a mean person when he's out there on the field. Alec Anderson's trying to fight everybody. But then there's James Cook. I mean, even the quarterback, right? Allen's running through guys, running through linemen on Miami, jumping over people. It's just Cook. And Cook is good, and I don't have any – this is not like a negative in how good he is or whether or not they should sign him. It's just if you have Derrick Henry on your offense, aren't you kind of seen as like, oh, that's a bully right there because they got that guy in the backfield. If you have a James Cook who's more of a slasher and more of a, you know, a speed running back, then you might not earn that. You might not get it even though you have earned it because every other part of their offense – At this point, is smash mouth football.
Yep,
smash mouth. When they need to be.
The line, the quarterback, they've got one tight end that plays that way. They drafted Jackson Hawes.
Yep.
Best blocking tight end in the draft.
Six linemen. The rest of it. It's all of it except James Cook doesn't fit that profile.
Yeah.
And that's really it. Which is fine.
Yeah.
It works, right? Like, they don't need him to be running over people. Everybody else is running over people.
I'm good with it.
Yeah.
I still think I still think re-signing Cook is possible.
Yeah.
You know, like on a scale of 1 to 10, how shocked would you be if they got an extension done with Cook? If it was announced today, how shocked would you be?
I still would be
10 out of 10 shocked?
No, not
8 out of 10.
I'd be like a 7 out of 10.
Okay.
I'd be surprised. I would not go that far, but I would definitely be surprised.
Okay. I would not be surprised at all. That doesn't mean I want to go so far as predicting it.
Yeah.
But I just have the door totally open for it because, I mean, if Bean is going to talk about the offense like, hey, we got a good thing going,
yeah,
then they're going to want to bring a lot of the pieces back. They wanted to bring back Mac Hollins, and it sounded like they might have been a little surprised that they lost him. So, again, Cook has to have the right number there, and I guess he could be so committed to a big, big number that he could price himself out. But when Bean says he wants him back, I'm inclined to believe him. They keep bringing pieces back. Are they going to bring back Osiris Torrance or Connor McGovern? They might have a call to make there. Mm-hmm. You know, those two are two other players that maybe they haven't tweeted out what their ask is.
Yep.
But they might have asks that are too high for the Bills.
Are we sure Connor McGovern hasn't tweeted out his ask? Would we have seen it? We would have seen it, right?
I don't know. It's a good question. That's another one. One of those guys could – I mean, you could get McGovern extended and would not be surprised by that at all either. So,
no.
We'll see.
I tend to think, I don't say I don't believe him. I think Bean could be just saying the things you have to say if you don't really want to pay a running back $14, $12, $13, whatever the number is, $1 million a year. I think if that was his mindset, then this is how it would sound. And if that is your mindset, you've won. You've won. Because if you don't, maybe you're open to it, but you don't really want to. If you don't really want to pay a running back because you just don't believe in it in the league, then your job or your best case scenario as a GM is getting the running back to play on his final year of his deal, no holdout,
all out,
no drama. He's here, he's performing, and if that is his stance, you don't need to do anything else. He's here. He's working. He's going to play. Like, if you didn't want to give him that contract or weren't inclined to be pursuing it, then I don't know why you would revisit it now. I think you would feel like, I've, you know, wiped my hands. I'm good. I don't have to revisit this until the end of the year.
I guess the only question I would have is, did he say all the same things about everybody else? How many times did he say, I hope this guy's here next year?
You know the guy I'd really love to look back on
Gabe?
For that? Gabe is good for that.
Poyer?
Singletary would be the one I'd really love. Like, did he say anything like that? Because Singletary, that one was very obvious.
And that was like, very cheap. He left for $3 million a year.
That's why I could easily say, like, they didn't really want him back.
No.
Because they could have matched that easily. It was like a one-year contract,
and
wasn't it, in Houston?
Right, and let's be real. The reason that they didn't is probably because this guy here.
Be better.
This guy here, yeah. This guy is better. Cook is better. Gives them things that are harder to replace. Like, how hard is it to replace what Devin Singletary did? Isn't that just get yourself a running back in the draft that's good? I mean, Singletary had fumbling problems.
He was the fumble king. I think the only running back in the league during his time with the Bills that fumbled more was Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. So
he was number two.
I feel like Singletary and Zach Moss, for that matter, they drafted – and there's where context kind of matters.
It was 1 year, $2.7 million in Houston for Singletary.
It's nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Ty Johnson makes 2.5, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
on a two-year deal.
Right. Nothing for Singletary. And, like, the Bills – they really haven't been faced with this decision.
No.
McCoy, they paid. That's a different time. That's credibility, and that's get a guy to come here. Singletary was never lived up to – well, what I shouldn't say that. He was fine.
He was fine. He was a fine never, starting running back.
It was never a conversation. Zach Moss, it never really happened. He was fine and went to Cincinnati and has been fine. Cook has actually blossomed. And, I mean, there's a number of things in here. I'll give you one more comparison about this, and they're different GMs, and they have definitely accomplished different things. But Kevin Adams talking about Jack Quinn on that Beyond Blue and Gold or Sabres Embedded.
Yeah.
He's talking to Quinn on the phone like he's excited, and then Adams says, "You're the first player I drafted." Like, it's a special thing. Mm-hmm. When a GM is able to develop, extend, whatever, his own players, he kind of gets to notch a win. And for Bean, he's got that on Shakir and Benford and Rousseau and Bernard. Like, they drafted these guys, and when they extend those guys, the GM gets to check a box for a win. And that doesn't mean you do it on every player. I understand that. But with Cook here, if he extends Cook and it's at a number we can all expect, and Cook goes on to have, you know, 1,300-yard seasons with 10 touchdowns every year, that looks good for Bean. Like, I drafted a couple running backs. I finally got one that put up big numbers. When the offense suits him, fits him, I've got a good ecosystem, bang. Let's get this thing done. Let's keep a good thing going. So I think it is very possible, and, of course, you know, we'll see.
You know, the other thing looking back on, so, like, they let Singletary walk. And if you remember, Cook in his rookie year,
not much.
There wasn't really much happening. He fumbles on his first snap. He doesn't play for a month. Yeah. And then there wasn't much, right?
No.
Like, there wasn't anything that would have made you think, like, oh, we don't have to do anything here because this guy's got it. Like, you were far from that being the case. So they let Singletary walk. And that would have been an opportunity to say, all right, let's go throw $7 million at the position. Let's go invest in it. You know, like, Allen's cap hit's not as big at that point. That's so early in his extension that you don't have the $50 million cap hit on Josh Allen. So you could have done that. What'd they do? What'd they do to replace Devin Singletary?
They signed.
Remember who they signed?
Hold on. They signed.
Because remember, Cook is like.
TJ Yeldon.
You can't be sure that Cook is going to be the starter. Yeldon's earlier.
Okay, Matt Breida.
You're in the right sphere, I would say, of running back.
Matt Breida, TJ Yeldon.
You're missing a guy.
I mean, Zach Moss was here, but
he's gone.
He's gone at that point.
Yep.
Oh, Frank Gore.
Nope, he's gone too.
Oh, wow, look at this.
Who do they go in with as the two veteran running backs to pair with James Cook after Singletary leaves?
Not Frank Gore.
Can you get either one of them? Two veteran backs that they signed to pair with James Cook.
Wow.
It was a trio. Like, they all got time. One of the guys got hurt.
Wow. Should I get this?
It's
Latavius Murray.
That's one of them. Latavius Murray. Who, I remember that season, led the Bills in third down snaps.
You know how I should remember this? I should remember this by, who did I once at the stadium scream, why is that person lined up out wide? Because
This other guy could have been that.
Okay.
He didn't play a lot for the Bills, but he might have been, I don't remember your opinion on this, but I think it could have been a guy you liked. Remember Mike? Mike Schaub liked this idea a lot when they signed.
Oh, I know. Leonard Fournette.
Nope.
Ugh.
Oh, wait. Is he on that team, though, too?
Look at these backs.
He gets there late in the year. Damian Harris.
Oh, right, right. And he
signed him for almost the same money. Singletary.
He broke his leg.
Broke neck.
Not broke his neck, but he had a neck injury. Okay, neck injury.
He had a neck injury, I think, that knocked him out for the season.
Harris hit them for a 67-yarder in the – or whatever the was in the –
The win game. But, like, that was their move. Like, they could have said, oh, let's go get, you know, a $7, $8 million really nice free agent.
Who were they? Who were they, though?
That like, season?
Yeah. Like, who were the $7, $8 million free agents? Like, that'd be a part of this as well.
That's true.
We'll get a break in. 803-0550. Let's check in on Cook. How you feeling about this? Do you want the deal done? Do you want them to get together and, you know, you don't want to pay 15, but you'll pay reasonable money. I maintain that I would. They have a good thing going, and if that logic is going to be used to talk about the offense, well, then I'm going to want to keep some of those good pieces together. Although, of course, you got to make your decisions. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. Jeremy and Joe live from training camp here at St. John Fisher. You can give us a ring. Training camp coverage brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. By Outlet Liquor, when you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys. And driven by your Upstate Honda dealers for great deals on the entire Honda lineup. Visit your Upstate Honda dealer today.